You may be seated. Today I'll be reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Some of you may know that I'm not a member here. My family, we are members of a small church out in Goochland. We like little small churches, and we've been there for a long time, and I don't get to do very much with them on Sundays. So I was very excited when the pastor's wife offered an 8-week book study during Lent. It was on Wednesday mornings, which is my day off. And so that worked out really well. I loved the book we studied and the time I spent with the women in the group. But the last week of the class was in April. It was getting warm outside, and I was looking forward to all the things I could do that Wednesday morning. But instead of saying her goodbyes, the leader ended the class with this statement. "Next week, we will begin our new book, titled 7. Please let me know if you will be joining and pick up your book in the office." That was not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to provide a valid reason why I needed my Wednesday mornings back. It was getting warm outside, and people looked happy picking out flowers at Home Depot. Would that be a valid enough reason? I decided to pick up the book and read chapter 1. If I didn't like the book, then I would get a backbone, and I would tell her no. After all, my Wednesday night book club is reading the book Boundaries. So I read chapter 1. It is a book by Christian author Jen Hatmaker about the excesses in our lives. The book was divided into 7 areas of excess, and each month the author would do 7 things to change her ways. To give you a little more of a backstory, Jen's husband used to be the pastor of a large church. They gave up the big church, the big house, and the big American dream to start a small church in Austin, Texas, and to live where they served. She said, "In order for God's kingdom to come, my kingdom had to go." The first chapter was food. America lives in excess, while 25,000 people today will die of starvation. The author picked 7 foods, and she would live on only 7 foods for the whole month while praying and learning about hunger issues in the world. Her writing was educational, honest, yet funny, which made my decision easy that I wanted to be a part of this book club. I wanted to read more about what Jen had to learn. I emailed the leader that I would be there Wednesday morning. I thought my email would not only make the leader happy, but God would be pleased with my sacrifice of time. Her response was an email to the whole class. I quote, "I'm looking forward to hearing what 7 foods you have lived on this week." That was not what I wanted to hear. So even though I failed at living on 7 foods, I embraced the class and our experiment against excess in the following 6 weeks. There was the week with no media, meaning no TV, no car radio on the way to work, no phone apps, no phone, no texting or computer, except for work purposes only. I lived in beautiful silence. Another week focused on possessions, where we gave away 7 things a day to someone in need. And by the way, dropping your stuff at Goodwill and letting God sort out how the poor will find and afford your stuff did not count. There was the week on waste, where you increased your awareness for the earth in 7 ways, like recycling, reusable shopping bags, and planting a garden. The last week was stress. We committed to pausing 7 times a day to pray and redirect our day in the right frame of mind. I will once again confess that I only did 6 because the last one was at midnight. But to redeem myself, my phone still goes off 6 times a day, and I have no plans of stopping that. And I love when my daughters yell out prayer time when they hear my alarm. The group of us in the study grew very close as we opened our eyes to the excess in our lives and the blinders we put up to justify our behaviors. I saw myself on the pages defining American greed and poor choices. Each week pushed us to understand the hurting, injustice, some fixable, some overwhelming struggles in our world. Invisible people hurting and hungry while I am busy accumulating more. If God comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable, God clearly thought I was too comfortable because he was reckoning with me in my comfortable self. My soul and my closet were being stripped down, but I still had a feeling that I had more to learn, more to give, and more to do. It all kept coming back to one question. Do you know the poor? I could say yes on paper, with mission trips, volunteer work with the food bank and Salvation Army, donating things I didn't need, want, or use to Goodwill. But none of this formed relationships with a community I was keeping at arm's length. God kept placing the same question on my heart. Do you know the poor? I finally asked God, what do you mean know? Like know they exist? No, Susan. Do you know the poor? Yes, I met one last year. They were very nice. No, Susan. Do you know the poor? You mean, can I give you a name? Yes, Susan. God, I'll have to get back to you on that one. I committed myself to hearing what God wanted me to hear, what he wanted me to see. And so I prayed, Lord, show me the poor. I live in the west end of Richmond next to the new school, and most people drive Navy BMWs. I know you're creative, but this is a tough one. What do you think God did? God wasted no time to show me. I'm in my office here, and I hear the secretary on the phone. She says, the black car in the parking lot? No, we haven't noticed. He's homeless? Been there a long time? Really? Okay, thanks for letting us know. I looked out my window, and there was the black car. I sat at my desk, humbled. He was right outside my window the whole time. He was outside my window when it snowed, when it was cold, when it was raining, and now when it was hot. He was there, and I didn't see. This is what happens every day. We sit comfortably studying scripture while the world outside our window is on fire. We show up on Sunday wearing our best for God when that is not the best he is talking about. As the poor sit in our parking lot, I felt God say, you can't run after my lost sheep in high heels, so leave them home. We have work to do. Our gospel today is Mark 10. It's the week before Jesus will go to the cross. Jesus and his disciples are traveling through a town to get to Jericho. A blind man sitting along the road yells out to Jesus. A blind man at the time was said to be cursed by God, which made him unclean, which meant he couldn't work, so he had to beg. The disciples and followers of Jesus try to hush him. to stop the distraction. But Jesus stops what he's doing and listened to Bartimaeus. It's easy to find story after story of Jesus spending time with prostitutes and tax collectors and beggars. The stories are quick reads, but I want to throw out to you that maybe it wasn't that quick. Maybe Jesus' distraction with Bartimaeus was long. Maybe that's why the disciples didn't want another distraction. Kids, have you ever been in the grocery store with your mom, and she runs into a friend and talks for 10 minutes, and then when she's finally done, she runs into another friend, and you want to tell that friend to go away? Maybe that's what the disciples were doing to Bartimaeus. They didn't want Jesus to stop and spend time with another person. Maybe Jesus took his time with Bartimaeus and let him tell his whole life story. It's more meaningful to know that Jesus accepts the unclean after knowing everything about him. There's not one story in the Bible where Jesus says, "Sorry, but that's a deal breaker. I can't help you." Friends, who are we in this story? Are we the beggar crying out for our most basic needs to be met in our life? Are we the followers of Jesus who try to keep the day running so smoothly that we don't allow distractions? Or are we Jesus that has eyes to see, ears to hear, and the guts to walk with the outcast and the unclean? Friends, we need to have time in our day for distractions. Time for eye contact when our kids speak to us. Time to sit on the porch with a neighbor or the stranger God puts in our day. Providence Church has a long tradition of helping others in need. This past week, the mission committee led a week of Caritas, and many people witnessed Brenda and Valerie's example of love. We quickly caught on and learned how to love and play with the kids, talk with the parents, and run to the store to meet a simple need. Others grabbed laundry to wash at home, and others cooked meals and packed lunches. Seeing the homeless families of Caritas and the family of Providence intertwined at the dinner table every night, you can hear Jesus saying, "This is what I want my church to look like." It is refreshing to be in a place where titles, egos, degrees, and reputations have no value. It's the fruits of the Spirit that do. This summer, the youth group is doing something different. We've just been approved by the county to put up a big banner in front of the youth house that says Teen Neighborhood Block Party every Sunday night in July and August. We are opening up our house and our hearts to the community. We will be vulnerable, and it will be a vulnerable and beautiful way to reach out to those around us. Shane Claiborne says, "Christ is living inside of you and me, walking the earth. We shall do even greater things because the love lived in the radical Christ now lives within millions of ordinary radicals all over the planet." We want to be ordinary radicals. So what is the point of Peace and Justice Sunday? Can we change the world in one service? Mother Teresa said, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." That is our challenge for this week. Pray for your small thing. Every beautiful and simple prayer will be different. Jen Hatmaker's prayer that started her journey was, "Rise up in me a holy passion." Mine was simply, "Show me the poor." What will be yours? Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Praise be to God. Amen.